the general manager comes down to the where I'm getting treatment, uh-huh. and he's looking at me. He's like, "You have to play this game. We need you to play this game. We don't have anybody else." My first instinct, J-Bell, my first instinct was to tell him, go to hell.
When they're in the red zone, because of what he can do in the running game, they're unstoppable.
The Detroit Lions, on the other hand, J-Bell, they are in big trouble. Big trouble, J-Bell. And then now all of a sudden, get called out, it's them.
Yeah,
it's
I love
the media.
It. I love
it's the
it.
Media. No, buddy. No. It was you.
But I like it.
You sound like a British lord from like the 1800s. You sound like Lord Notting Hill.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast. And before we get started, I'd like to thank everybody who voted for us for Podcast of the Year. Appreciate all the love. Appreciate all the comments, the likes, subscribing, all that kind of stuff. Me and OC, we love y'all. It is all about you. And we are brought to you by our official sponsors, Lazy Boy in 888. OC, it's a good week in the NFL. A lot to talk about. How are you feeling? Love the shoes.
You love the shoes because you know what this is? I'm about to go play some football right after this, but not the American type. I'm talking about the guy on the ground where I go. And guess what? The Paradise Park Iniesta is ready to go today, J-Bell.
Paradise Park.
I got to say something, J-Bell. There's something that happened last week.
Oh, okay.
That has everybody up in arms.
Yeah.
And it happened in the Rams versus the 49ers game.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
last
about?
Last Thursday. Yeah, yeah.
Tell the people what happened, J-Bell.
So, last Thursday, right, you had the 49ers versus the Rams. Rams beat the 49ers 12-6. And the big conversation was DeAndre Campbell, who had started most of the season at linebacker, who had to sit down because Dre Greenlaw had come back, correct?
Yep.
And him coming back in the game, DeAndre Campbell had to sit down. When he was asked to come in the game later on, he declined.
Yep.
And now the repercussions, which we just found out, is he is suspended for 3 games.
Mm.
And they didn't cut him because if they would cut him, he could go somewhere else and get paid.
Mm-hmm.
By suspending him for 3 games, no, he can no longer do that. And he doesn't get paid, OC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what they wanted to do. I mean, this was a you will pay for this decision. Like this was this was tough on him and the 49ers as a whole. It was a lot of conversations that were happening.
There was a lot of conversations, J-Bell. And there were a lot of people who were really, really angry.
Yep.
And they came out and said, you know, Campbell should never play again and, you know, he's the worst and all these type of things. And I gotta be honest with you, when I first saw it, that was my initial reaction too.
Okay.
Because you never really, you see a guy walk off the field on his teammates and you're like, oh my goodness, what is this?
This is something. We're in this together, man.
But the truth of the matter is, when you really, really, well, at least me, when I really understood what happened,
okay,
what transpired there, all the little mitigating factors that led to this particular moment, I can't say with 100% certainty that I wouldn't have reacted the same way he did. I can't say it with 100% certainty.
Really?
I can't, J-Bo. I can't.
I need more.
See, the thing is, when you initially see what he did, right, as a former player, your first thing is, why would he do that to his teammates? Why would he do that to his team, right?
We need you to come in the game. You have denied. It's your job to come play professional football.
100%.
You said no.
Cool. But we think, well, at least me, my thought process immediately went to Justin Tuck, Dave Tollefson.
Your boys.
Canty, even the owner of the team, Mr. Mara, who came and sat with me when I got injured. I was like, I wouldn't do that to them. You know what I mean?
Stray.
Like, no matter what, Strahan. Like, no matter what I felt at that particular moment, I wouldn't do that to them. But let's take a look at Devondre Campbell's situation.
Okay.
Yeah? Let's take a look at it from his perspective. This is 9th year in the NFL.
Yep.
This is his first year with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, it is.
He comes in, he signed a 1-year deal, essentially a prove-it deal for him. He's going to get maybe one more bite at the apple after this year, maximum, because he is a linebacker.
At the latter end of his career.
At the latter end of his career. So he's in with the San Francisco 49ers. He's never really been there before. This is his first season with a new team.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the relationships that we had with the Giants and with other teams.
Solid point.
Doesn't know the people there, you know, really well. And on top of that, he is playing good football for them. He's their second leading tackler at this particular point.
And when called upon, right, we brought you in because Dre Greenlaw's hurt, Achilles tendon that he popped, and the Super Bowl.
Yep.
We need you to fulfill this role, and you have.
And he's been doing it at a relatively high level. Now, from the San Francisco 49ers standpoint, this is Dre Greenlaw.
Who balled when he was in there. Who balled when he was playing.
He is part of the fabric of the San Francisco 49ers. He is a leader. He is their guy. So, of course, when he gets back in, they have to put him in the game. Of course. They put him in the game. Campbell's been playing well this whole year. This is only on a one-year deal. Prove a deal. He has to have this.
I need to play. I need my
stats. I need my stats.
Okay. I see where you're going. I'm following.
Greenlaw comes in. Thing tightens up or whatever. He's on a pitch count. They're like, okay, well, now you go sit down, Greenlaw. You've done your thing. Campbell, you come in. He's like, what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Now, as players, full of pride, full of emotion, in that particular situation, when you're like, oh no, and you think about it from his standpoint, he doesn't really know these people like that. He's not ingratiated to this football team the way other people are, the way we're looking at it, and then now all of a sudden, after you've done all that work, they just put this guy in, and then all of a sudden they're like, nah, sit down. You go in. How do you think he's going to react? I cannot say that I wouldn't have reacted the same way if I was him. And I think this is what we're all, most of the people who are talking about, this is what we're missing, man. We're not looking at it from his perspective. And when you do, I'm not saying we would have done the same thing, but I completely understand why he made that decision.
Okay, I like how you introduced this topic. I like your approach towards it because I'm thinking of real world application. Hmm. It's easy to just get on the side of this was a bad decision. You let your team down because we all feel like that. But I want to stay on this path because I appreciate where you've taken this. We all make decisions out of emotion. Everyone is trying to limit that because you know you're not thinking as clear as possible. Mm. All right. How do I handle my emotions in a tense situation? How do I control that, calm that down? Then make a decision. It's very hard during a game. Mm. But people do it all the time. It's why we evaluate it. It's why we watch it. It's why we love it. We're watching people on a high level make decisions in the heat of the battle. They don't have an hour to go sit down and think about their response, mm-hmm. right? And when you say that, I'm like, yeah, I built a career on having to be that guy that's called upon on the last minute. You didn't. Mm. You were out there. You were balling. The game really lied on how you played. I mean, how you performed was really kind of is setting us up for a win or a loss every week. That's pressure in its own. Campbell was doing the same thing because he was a starter. He was out there. Your mentality must switch when you're not out there. I could just be, hey, JBL, get in there. We need you to do this. Yeah. That was what I did. Yeah. That was my mentality. So I immediately go like, why not? But you know what was hard? When I had to start and I had to all week get ready and that pressure, that was different to me. That was different.
Yeah.
I felt different. I can see that happening as a player when you are now called upon, when you feel a little disrespected, you feel a little forgotten. He still should have went out there. But the way you pose this question and the way you have me thinking, I totally understand why in that moment you go, whatever. Yeah. And if anybody is tripping at, whatever, all right, think about their life. Think about situations in time where you felt disrespected, underappreciated, whatever. And you were like, well, you do it then.
Yeah.
You think you could do it.
You do it.
You do it. I see these memes. It makes me laugh. People are working hard on their computer. And then they go, I realize what they're paying me. And they just stop, right? They're like, and you realize what you're getting paid. And all of a sudden you're like,
yeah.
You're like, this isn't. You don't value me, so do I value you? I say all that. We still understand the transaction.
Yep.
We still understand we have to be out there.
J-Bell, there was a situation, true story, This is like 2010, actually. We're about to go play the Chicago Bears. Now, there's like some issue going on in our locker room,
okay,
right? Between me and other players in the team. And they're like, well, you know, we don't know who we're going to play.
Ooh.
In my head, I'm like, man, I've been here since 2003. I've led the team in sacks, J-Bell, every single year I've been on the field. Every year since 2004, from 2004 to 2011.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Right? So they're having these conversations, and my knee is swollen up like this, like a grapefruit. And the person, I won't say, just so happens to get injured that particular game.
The person they were trying to put you in. Oh,
just so happens to get injured that particular game.
Oh, this is real.
The general manager comes down to the where I'm getting treatment, and he's looking at me. He's like, "You have to play this game. We need you to play this game. We don't have anybody else." My first instinct, J-Bell, my first instinct was to tell him, go to hell. That was my first instinct. And I sat there and I thought about the other players. And it was Tuck. And it was like Tossin. And it was all those guys. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play. But it was for them. Now, if I don't have that relationship with these people, I'm telling you that I don't know how I would have reacted, J-Bell.
How long was that process in your head until you were like, go to hell, no, I'm going to play, in your head?
Yeah, it took like, because I didn't answer him right away.
Right.
Because my first instinct would have been like.
So you just stayed quiet.
I just stayed quiet. I was like, and it took me like a while. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this to them. I'm not going to do this to them. But all I can think of is if I don't have that relationship, I don't know if I would have done that, Jason. I just don't know. If this is my first year there and they have treated me the way they treated Campbell, I don't know if I would have went out there and played. I don't know.
You said a key word in this relationships. And we always talk about the way people make decisions in a moment in a tense situation is previous relationships. Have I felt heard? Do I feel like we have dialogue? Is there trust? Because if you're going to make an instant decision, it has to be built on trust that has taken time, right? Layers upon layers. I want to be in condition. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to build up, right? And it's the same way when you think about your family, a work situation, in the locker room on a team, when you have to make instant decisions, it's the past previous decisions that allow you to go, yep, okay. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that, you hesitate.
Yep.
To your point of posing this question and approaching it from this angle. I really appreciate you throwing it out there like that, because I wasn't thinking of it like that. I was, it was very easy for me to say, you, why, and I was. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't changed how I feel like, you should have, but I'm definitely thinking about it differently, my friend.
Yeah.
And that is fire. You know what else I'm thinking about?
Tell me, J-Bell.
We had some dope plays this week.
Okay.
We had some fire.
Some good ones.
Yeah.
You like them?
Yeah.
They better than Paradise Park in Iesta?
Ain't nothing better than Paradise Park, but we are going to get in our plays of the week. In association with Lazy Boy, here are our plays of the week.
Oh yes, J-Bell, these are our plays of the week. And let us start with number one. And here is my main man, Jaden Daniels, the rookie of the year.
Daniels looking, moving to his left, under pressure, stays on his feet. And now he throws to the end zone and is caught for a touchdown by McLaurin.
That is scary Terry McLaurin. What a play, J-Bell.
These two have real chemistry, and this is where McDaniels is at his best. He was doing this in college, OC. The movement in the pocket, extending plays, and scary Terry, he has to stay alive, OC. He has to find space in the back of the end zone, and he does that. You want to run into the quarterback's vision, and that's what he does. Comes up with a big catch.
Up next, and this is actually my favorite, J-Bell. This is the Tennessee Titans, Tavondre Sweat. And I want you to watch this. Joe Burrow, under pressure, gets crunched. But guess what? Gets the ball script. And get what's in the five fingers? Say to the face, J-Bell, that's a max. Tavondre rumbling, bumbling.
Burrow under pressure again, and this time he'll go down. Or will he? The ball pops out, and it's recovered by the Titans. Tavondre Sweat rumbling up the sideline. The big man still on the run and out of bounds at the 40-yard line.
OC, this is his new profile pic. This is all over social media, TikTok, Instagram, Grandmagram. It doesn't matter. It's on all of them.
What is Grandmagram? What are you? What in the world is going
That's
on?
That's what Bill Belichick uses.
Up next, J-Bell, is another favorite of mine. You know why?
Tell me.
It's a big man touchdown. Here's Dan Skipper, the offensive lineman for the Detroit Lions. Goff dumps the ball off to Skipper, and he's going to rumble, bumble, stumble his way into the end zone, running over DBs, because we don't care about DBs.
Fake it to him this time, and they got a wide open target. It's one of the linemen. It's Skipper to the end zone for the touchdown. Skipper, all 6'9" of them.
I love this play. Skipper faking like he's blocking on the line of scrimmage, and then he releases in the flat and totally fools the defense. Great play design, great accuracy, and you love when the big boy scores.
Easy to fool them, man. Everybody was thinking there's just no possible way they're throwing the ball to that guy. Just no possible way they're throwing the ball to him.
Hey, man, you know he is celebrating. I love when the big dudes get a touchdown, man. Their whole family's cheering.
Up next, from the same game, and this is our MVP. We call him the Bucking Bronco, the mother Bucking Bronco. Josh Allen scrambling to his right, unfurling a dip. Look at how far he throws that ball. This is Keon Coleman, always trying to get a good deal, always trying to find himself a good deal, and he found himself down at the 5-yard line. What a great play by these two people.
Here's Allen slipping out of a sack, looking way down the field. There's a man who's got a step, and it's caught! It's caught all the way inside the 10-yard line, and fighting all the way down to the 5 is Keon Coleman.
This is the magic of Josh Allen. Every blade of grass is exposed. He can attack you on every inch of the field. He can take a hit. Look at this pass in the air. It doesn't float. It is right on a rope, my brother. Big play right here. This is why Josh Allen, to your point, is the MVP.
Still in the same game. Wow, a lot of good plays in this game. And here is Jared Goff again, having a fantastic season, having a fantastic game. And he goes right across the middle, almost gets intercepted. And that is Amon-Ra St. Brown, Z German. And he's going to find his way all the way into the end zone.
The pass complete. St. Brown slips through a tackle inside the 20 to the 10. What a play on 3rd and 17. The Lions are back in it.
Olsen, 3rd and 17. The defense knows you got to pick up this first down, and he still rips it in between the defenders on an end route. You have to have accuracy. You have to have anticipation. You have to have touch. It all came through on this play with Amon-Ra St. Brown taking it to the house.
Why did everybody look at me when I said he was German? Doesn't he look German? He looks German to me.
Yeah, he looks German to me too, bro.
And last but not least, we got, and this is really my favorite play, J-Bell. You know why?
Tell me.
It is a defensive end touchdown. I want you to look at this play. AR, Anthony Richardson, going to throw the ball to his receiver. His receiver's going to try to throw it back, but uh-oh.
Mitchell's going to be a double pass, and that one is intercepted. Oh! It's Bonito.
Nick Bonito having an all-pro year. All the way into the end zone.
Nick Bonito is not Poquito. He gets the interception and takes it back to the crib. This is just a late throw by the wide receiver, but Nick Bonito coming through. He makes it look easy. Takes it all the way to the house. He's been having a great year rushing the passer, OC.
We're going to call him Joga Bonito. You know what Joga Bonito is?
Tell me.
Brazilian soccer player. You see these shoes I got on?
I mean, I know what you into.
Joga Bonito.
You got to teach your boy.
Joga Bonito.
Oh, see, it was a lot of big boy swag in the plays of the week. Mm-hmm. I love that.
O-lineman, D-lineman, getting busy.
Man, them dudes with the ball in their hand, it makes it fun, man. It was very exciting, man. The NFL this week delivered.
I scored a lot of touchdowns, J-Bell. You know, I scored like 5 touchdowns. It's a big boy.
But you looked so swift on your feet, though.
Yeah,
like
I was a big boy.
Yeah, you were big, but you were quick-footed. Yeah. Like, when you were in the open field, you looked like you was covering some distance. I remember. It was like, ooh, we didn't try to catch up to you. Some of us did. It was like, let OC go. Don't try to race him. And it is a race to the finish right now. And when it comes to the NFL standings, and I'm going to break this down right now. We'll start with the AFC, OC. And we'll start with the top. The number one seed at this moment is the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 13-1. They have their issues with their quarterback right now. We'll get into it later. Buffalo's 2 at 11-3. Pittsburgh is the 3 seed right now at 10-4. Houston is the 4th seed because they're the winners of the South. They're 9-5. Baltimore is the 5th seed, 9-5. Denver. It's kind of unexpected. They're the 6th seed, 9-5, playing good this year. And the Los Angeles Chargers are 8-6. They're the 7th seed. Knocking at the door is the Colts and the Dolphins. In the NFC, we have.
I think that's going to end that way.
I think, yeah. Yeah.
It should. Those are the best teams.
I would be
very angry if Denver, not Denver, but Miami, and I forget what the other team was.
Miami needed that win. When they lost, they lost this week, obviously, to Houston. That was, they had to win, you know? So I agree with you. You're right. In the NFC, we got Detroit, number one, 12-2. We're going to talk about that. The Eagles are the 2nd seed at 12-2. Tampa Bay is the 3rd seed at 8-6, OC. I know. I know. The 4th seed is the Los Angeles Rams at 8-6. Minnesota's the 5th seed at 12-2. The 6th seed is Green Bay at 10-4. And the Washington Commanders are the 7th seed at 9-5. Obviously, 7 teams get into the playoffs. The first seed has a bye week. When we talk about the NFC, OC, I want to focus on the West because Seattle is knocking on the door. They're 8-6. Geno's a little banged up. And, you know, so you got Arizona 7-7. Who do you think's going to finally get that West position? What are your thoughts?
I think it'll be the Rams. I think they're going to keep that. I think they're going to keep their maintain their lead in the West. I don't know who's going to get that last one because, like you said, Seattle with Geno is a little banged up. In Arizona, I just don't believe in them at all. That's going to be a tough one. But I will tell you what I do like. I think when I look at the top of the NFC, it's not out of the question that Minnesota becomes the number one seed.
It is not out of question.
Not at all. Because if you look at Detroit and what's happening there.
So many injuries.
It might either be Philly or Minnesota that gets that number one seed.
Philly's getting stronger. They're healthy. And that's the key. I mean, we'll talk about them, but they are bouncing back from adversity. And this is what you want to do at this time in the league. You've been on playoff runs. You've won Super Bowl. You need to be hot now, OC. And I agree with you. Man, we had a game, bro. We had a game of – our game of the week has to be the Bills against Detroit, right? That was a battle. The Bills, 48 points. The Lions, 42, bro. I mean, it was a score fest. Josh Allen. You said it earlier, MVP, and it was legit. Threw for 362 yards, had 2 touchdowns in the air, and rushed for 2. He had 68 yards rushing. He's accounted for 15 touchdowns in the last 4 games.
Ridiculous.
15. And I think what's so unique, and you understand this as a defender, it's hard in the red area. But he is an easy button, bro. He's, when they're in the red zone, because of what he can do in the running game, they're unstoppable.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. In this game, man, what was really hard, and you saw it in Detroit, 15 total players now are on IR, and you saw more players go down. I mean, you saw a corner go down, their best defensive lineman. They lost a running back. I mean, it's a war of attrition, and they are losing, OC.
Unsustainable.
It is so tough, man, and you see why that defensive struggle. Josh Allen attacked those linebackers. I mean, that was the game plan. Attack the linebackers in man-to-man coverage, take advantage of them. They jumped off early, and you saw they had a better game plan built on we are going to take an advantage of these players that are in backup roles, right? We see it every week. Now everybody is discussing Dan Campbell's onside kick decision with 12 minutes on the clock in the fourth. People are saying it's too early. Why did you do it? Obviously, because it was returned. You know, it didn't work out for them. So now people are questioning his aggressiveness. I want to talk about this game. I want to start at that point. But if there's anything you want to add to get us to that point, I want to listen. Because I want to discuss if you believe that was a bad decision or is it something else?
It's very easy to second guess, you know, when the decision goes wrong. They say hindsight is 20/20, right? Whenever you're looking back, you can be like, yes, of course you shouldn't have done that. But when you look at the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell in particular, this is what they do.
Yep.
He is an aggressive guy. He believes in his team, and he's going for it on fourth down multiple times. In different varieties, different scenarios, this is what he does. So when it doesn't work, you can't all of a sudden now be like, oh, you shouldn't have. No.
Yeah. You shouldn't have been aggressive on special teams. Yeah, this is who I am.
This is what he does. He's going to live and die by that. Now, he might have to change it up a little bit because people are expecting him to do this now. It's not like it's a surprise to people now.
Yeah, well, onside kick isn't a surprise anyway.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So they're expecting all these things from him. And so he might have to switch it up a little bit, maybe not go for it quite as much because the element of surprise is gone. But you can never, ever fault him for being aggressive and sticking to what he believes in.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions, on the other hand, J-Bell, they are in big trouble. Big trouble, J-Bell. You just sat over there and you listed off all the injuries that they have. This is a team that in this particular game couldn't stop the run, couldn't rush the passer, were bad in coverage, and this is the worst time to be all those things. I mean, you're going into the playoffs, you're going into the meat, the nitty-gritty of your season, and this is when you want to have all these issues. If anything, they should have happened at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, true.
Not towards the end. They are in big, big trouble, jeopardy. And I hate to see this for them because it's not their fault.
I know. You make a good point. And I think that analytics are introducing our game for a good reason, right? More information. But when you are looking and you just gave all the info I needed. You can't rush the passer. Your best pass rusher, your best defense lineman is hurt. He's out. Your linebackers are skinny. What I mean is in depth wise, they're being attacked in the passing game. So you can't really cover on the outside. You're doing all right, but they're attacking the weakness. You're thinking, I can't stop Josh Allen and the Bills. Like they get the ball back. They might run this thing down 6 minutes off the clock and score. I have to do something.
Yeah.
I have to stop the bleeding. I know it's not going to be clean. I just got to put a tourniquet on this thing. I got to slow it down. And now we can second guess that. But in the moment, by everything you just presented to me, I'm going for the onside because it's not going well. Like, it's a bad day for me on defense. I need a spark. I know my offense can turn the tide. I know they might motivate the defense to go out there and get a stop because they're playing well. So I understand Dan Campbell's mentality behind that.
Yep, completely agree.
There's another game in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
The Battle of Pennsylvania. I don't know if that's a trophy, but it felt right.
Something.
It felt like the thing to say. And that's the Eagles versus the Steelers. The Eagles 27-13 on the Steelers. Eagles, 10 straight games over their in-state rivals. Till they start throwing that out, I didn't know that.
That's
man.
A lot.
That is a lot.
10 straight?
It's crazy. Jalen Hurts threw for 290 yards with 2 touchdowns, and A.J. Brown caught 8 passes for 110 yards, and Jalen in the press conference. Big chain. Big chain on his neck. Look at the media. Went up there, stoic, and said, so that's what y'all wanted to see, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the conversations the previous weeks with their relationship. I want to really focus on that. We can get into Pittsburgh. But this is what great teams need. And hear me out. And you tell me.
Okay.
Because I love your expertise on this because you're a great team guy. You need an enemy.
Usually works.
You need an enemy. It's your opponent. Or it's something else. Because in the locker room, we just talked about a locker room situation in San Fran. Things happen. You just talked about a locker room situation where you had to bounce back and play. Things happen. There is conflict. You need to shift that conflict onto somebody else. And guess who's always there?
Yeah.
Guess who's available? And they're always willing to listen.
Yep.
The media.
Yeah, you're right.
The media.
Very easy to make an enemy out of the media nowadays, especially.
You make an enemy out of the media. And guess what? There's people that are standing on high podiums that are doing that. And it's an art.
100%. And it works.
It works.
But when you speak about Philly, make these are like, if anybody is really paying attention, you're like, I see what you're doing here, man. You know what I mean? Like,
tell me, bro.
I see what you're doing here. The fact of the matter is, he wasn't playing that well. He wasn't playing that well. Jalen Hurts wasn't playing that well.
He wasn't seeing the field.
Nope. He was missing throws. Yep.
Wasn't getting his guy to rock.
A.J. Brown came out and he was right in what he said. He wasn't wrong.
I looked at the tape, bro. He was open. I was like, why is he not getting
the
ball?
Why is he not getting the ball? Because this guy isn't doing it. And then now all of a sudden, get called out as them.
Yeah,
it's
the
media.
I love
it. It's the media. No, buddy. No. It was you.
But I like it.
It was you. I understand. I get it. But it was you.
I love it.
Throw the ball to your guy.
I love
it. Your playmaker. You're making $30 million. What are you talking about?
I know. And he came out and said, I love it. He said, that was our moment to tell everybody, shut up.
Oh,
they had
God.
A dance on the sideline. OC, I dig it. I dig it, bro.
These guys are ridiculous.
OC.
They're ridiculous, man.
Listen, you're telling me you don't like it.
It's interesting.
You gotta like it.
OC, you're not getting pressure on the quarterback. You know what? Look at this. I got a sack. Now what y'all got to say?
Yeah.
Bro, what about the nine games before when I didn't sniff the quarterback one time? What are you talking about, man?
Need an enemy, man. It's a long season.
You're right.
You have to have several opponents. Now they can kumbaya in the locker room, huggy hugs. Man, I can't believe they were talking about us like this. We showed them.
Yeah, and against Pittsburgh, that's not an easy thing to do.
Not at all. We need the Chiefs to show us they can protect Patrick Mahomes. Because
is that what you need us to see?
We need the Chiefs to show us they can protect Patrick Mahomes. They beat the Browns 21-7. Mahomes had 2 touchdowns, but he couldn't finish the game. He had an ankle injury. He's dealt with this before. High ankle sprain. We've seen him in the playoffs with that. And Andy Reid, after the game, said, it's not broken. That's what I can tell you. I'm going to see how it goes. It'll literally be day to day as we go forward.
Is that his voice?
Yes.
That's Andy Reid's voice?
I feel coachish. Okay. This is a coach. Like, I do not know how much swelling he has or anything like that. He probably could have gone back in the game.
You sound like a British lord from like the 1800s.
And I feel, because I'm thinking of Andy Reid standing up, holding his stomach up.
You sound like Lord Notting Hill.
Lord Notting Hill.
Yeah, he owned like all of what's known as Notting Hill. That's what you sound like, Lord Notting Hill. Go ahead, though,
Jay. Hey, my daughter said something the other day, and it was so British. I was like, oh man, the school system's got you. Because when she talks to us, you know, sometimes she sounds like her mom. She can, you know, it blends.
Okay.
And it was real. She talking to her friends. She was like, bop, 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 bop. I was like, yeah, I am paying a lot for school.
Yeah, it's a beautiful accent, by the way.
It was
that British accent, boy.
It was it sounded everything she was telling me. I was listening to. I was like, yes. And
beautiful.
She corrects me all the time. That's not how you say that word. You should do that.
But the posh British accent,
super posh,
not the in it.
No,
you know what I mean, not
she
that.
She don't know how to say in it. No. It is so posh.
Yeah,
bro.
The posh one is the one that sounds.
It is. Super posh.
Not the road man. Not Uncle Sam.
Nah,
not his.
Nah. Oh, no, well, no, nah. No. She ain't got no road man. Let her bring a road man around. My visa is not getting renewed. No chance.
What were we talking about?
The Chiefs, yeah. The Chiefs. So that was Andy Reid's comment on that. We were talking the other day about this game, and you had a very good point. And you were like discussing, your median point was like, man, on third down, you know, and you were talking about the last couple of drives in the game and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, OC, third down is their superpower.
Yep.
So I'm like, you had sparked my mind. So I go and I looked at the tape, looked at some plays. Then I looked at the stats and I'm thinking, the third down magic is his movement.
Yep.
Third down is when he, especially late in the games, scrambles and gets a first down. That's when he uses his legs. My man's got to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen him go through this before, but they're teetering on the edge right now.
J-Bell, I'm not going to keep flogging a dead horse.
Did you
as they like to say
flogging a dead horse?
That's what they say.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not going to keep flogging a dead horse, J-Bell.
You brought in the F word.
But this football team, Right? And I saw, I see a flog.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
I used to get flogged, by the way. That's a true story.
Oh my God. Oh my, what are we talking about?
True story.
We have went.
I did.
Why?
I used to get flogged.
What are you?
I used to get flogged. What do you want me to do?
What, that is abuse. Because
no, it's not. In Nigeria,
that
are you kidding
abuse.
Me? In Nigeria, that's called love.
Oh my God.
We don't subscribe to all this stuff you guys are talking about in Nigeria. That's how you show love.
You just can't say I got flogged.
I got flogged, and all my Nigerian peeps know. Look at Uncle Sam. He's smiling. He knows what's up. He knows what's up.
Uncle Sam gave away the gold too.
But listen, when you're speaking about this team, there's four teams in the NFL.
Yep.
That haven't scored 30 points. The other three, I think it's like the Giants, like the other three are like the worst teams in football.
Okay.
And the Kansas City Chiefs are on that list.
Right.
They, over the course of this season, when you tell me that this team is 13-1, I almost spit out my coffee. How? What are you talking about? How? What are we talking about? How is this team 13-1?
His ability, number 15, to close out games.
G-Bell.
And this is why this ankle injury is scary.
This is by far. Not even close, by any metric, the worst 13-1 football team I've ever seen.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
I've never seen a team that was 13-1, which is, you can't even fathom that record.
Tough.
How do you won 13 games in the NFL. In the NFL, you won 13 games playing like that? How? It's unheard of. So there's something going on there. There's this magic, and inexplicable. I can't explain it because there's no possible way this team should be 13-1, but they are.
They are.
How is this going to transpire? How is this going to progress over the coming weeks? I don't know, J-Bell. I don't see it ending well.
Number 15 has to be healthy, and he has to be elite in his movement skills, because third down is where they win, and he is that moment. But my goodness, if he's hampered at all, it ain't happening.
It's
and
tough.
It is worrisome.
Yeah.
You know what else is worrisome?
Tell us, Chief.
For the AFC, the Ravens, because of Lamar Action Jackson. Now, I'm telling you, I think he's third for the MVP right now. I would
third?
Like Saquon up there, but it's because he's won it. And Allen, you know, the plays he's making and the way we're celebrating. But he's balling.
Yeah.
The best of his career.
Yep.
He beat up on our Giants. That being said, how do you feel about them going in the playoffs? As this is Baltimore, I feel they're scary.
I cannot wait to watch the playoffs. I know we say this every year, but I cannot wait to see how this team performs in the playoffs. Who they match up against? How are they going to respond? Because in terms of a quarterback playing at an elite level, there's maybe one other guy playing better than him, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
Lamar.
He is performing at a level that we just haven't seen. Is this going to translate into the playoffs? We've seen him win the MVP before and then go in the playoffs and fall flat on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this going to translate into the playoffs? Maybe this is the year, but as a team, I love the Baltimore Ravens. I love what they're doing. I love how they built, and it seems to me that they're getting better right now.
Yeah, they can beat the Bills.
They can beat anybody.
They can beat anybody.
Anybody in the AFC. In the NFC, they can beat anybody.
Yeah. You know who might not be able to beat anybody, but they beat somebody last week? The Texans.
Okay.
20-12 against the Dolphins, and I got to celebrate this. CJ Stroud got his two TDs, but Derek Stingley.
Ooh.
Bro, the corner, two interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
He was flat out balling, my
friend. Yeah, he's a great football player, man. Reminds me of TJ.
I need TJ to get them. Yes. TJ has your eldest son has ball skills.
I saw him training this week. I was like, it's crazy.
Hey, listen.
Crazy.
Athletic genes are real.
Yeah.
That right there is real.
There was a guy out there who was with me. He was like, look at his leg. Why is he so big? Yeah, big corner, bro.
Big corner, long legs, good stride. Mm. It's the exact opposite of Uncle Sam. But I'll tell you what, the Jets. Finally eliminated.
Yay! Devontae, 198 yards.
Yeah.
Getting
hey,
it.
Hey, the Jets, bro.
Mm.
They beat the Jags, but you're right. I mean, it was Devontae Adams, bro.
Yeah.
And Brian Thomas Jr. on the other side.
Yes.
Those two dudes, bald. You know, young, old, but Devontae said, I still got it.
Mm.
I still got it. We talked about it earlier. We saw Jaden Daniels.
What do you think is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? Do you think
gone.
They're going to keep him?
Nah, he's gone. You think so? Yeah, he's playing for hope, but he's playing for somewhere else. Nah, he's gone. They're going to move.
You know what would be interesting?
Tell me.
You know what would be interesting?
I want to know.
Our Giants draft a quarterback.
I'm here.
And get Aaron Rodgers for this, you know, 1 year, 2 year stopgap, you know, and have a Shador or a my guy out of Miami,
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward, just sit behind for a year, and Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have to leave the city. He could just stay right there in New York as a bridge. It's just an idea, J. Bell. Just a little something.
When you look at that, and why it would work is if the person who's in that role performs in a way in that role that is advantageous for the person coming up behind. Are you a teacher? Do you know your placeholder, and can you do it?
So you don't think a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers would know his role at this particular point? You don't think that?
He's 40 years old, man.
He has to at this point.
He might.
Well, he's like Tom Brady. He's like, nah, this is me.
I don't think he's built like that.
I got you.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's hard to do, because if you think you can still perform better and at a high level, Kurt Warner did it.
Yeah.
Left and went and took a team to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So he was right.
You're right.
I can still do it. Jaden Daniels can still do it, and he just got here. The Commanders beat the Saints 19-20. He went for 226 yards, two touchdowns. Terry McLaurin, 73 yards, two touchdowns. That was fun to watch.
Spencer Rattler almost brought the New Orleans Saints back, man.
Good he played ball on the field, right? He showed they should hold on to him, and he gave him life. It was exciting.
It's a good game.
That's what you want. Burrow's exciting.
Yeah.
The Bengals, 37 to the Titans, 27. Burrow's exciting. Will Levis is exciting, too, in another way.
In a different way.
Three interceptions. Yeah. I mean, he just.
Whenever you saw him putting mayonnaise in his coffee.
You should have known it was over, bro.
Like, what is this, man?
He was hometown hope.
TikTok generation, man.
He's hometown hope, man. Get out of here. And it ain't working. But Burrow had 271 yards, three touchdowns. He still had two interceptions. Jamar Chase had 94 yards. But, I mean, Burrow's having a great year. But it doesn't matter if he's not winning.
Mm-hmm.
We always talk about you got to win in this league to get notoriety.
Wasted a year.
Because he would be in the MVP conversation. Faux show. The Cowboys rolled over the Panthers 30-14. Cooper Rush is doing all right. Three touchdowns. Cowboys had a good rushing attack. Rico Dow had almost 150 yards, man.
Yeah.
They were trying to find
undrafted rookie.
Yeah, trying to find some spark. They got him. He showed they can lean on him. CeeDee Lamb had over 100. He's a volume guy anyways with a touchdown. And the Cowboys, they got a slim chance to make the playoffs. Very slim. They need to finish at least at 9-8. So they hope the Commanders don't win a 10th game, OC.
Micah Parsons ball too. I wonder what's going to happen there. I wonder if the Dallas Cowboys, right, are going to make him the highest paid defense player. So they have the highest paid quarterback, highest paid receiver, and the highest paid defensive player.
Well, he's not the highest paid receiver. He's number two, but
close.
He's a high paid.
Yeah,
he's up there.
And then the highest paid defensive end in football.
I don't see why Jerry Jones wouldn't. He's got to pay Micah. Micah's the best player on the team, talent-wise.
But you can't do this.
Well, you've seen them trying to what the rest of the roster looks like. So you can, but it doesn't work.
Hurts you.
It hurts you.
It's going to hurt
you. It hurts you a lot. You have to get funny with the numbers, and maybe they can do that. Maybe they can bonus
funny
out
money.
Some numbers.
Or funny money.
Yeah, maybe they could be like, here, Dak, here's 100 straight up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to bring your cap down or whatever. You're the one who taught me that.
Yeah, that's true.
They the Cardinals, can do what they want. The Cardinals taught me that they can defeat the Patriots. The Cardinals 30-17 on the Patriots. Kyler Murray, 224 yards. But it's really James Conner, man. I mean, the way he's played all year, he's been a great back. Very physical. He's so big. You forget how big that dude is.
Yeah, he is.
He had over 100 yards and two touchdowns, man.
You know who's really good, though? And it's only I promise you, it's only because I really just started paying attention to DBs. Christian Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah. He's real. He's a number one guy. He's a top corner. He's fluid. You see how fluid he is for that size?
Bro, like.
You think Bill Belichick don't know how to draft?
Yeah. He's a dude.
When Belichick puts a top pick on a corner, he's seen something. We talked about the Bucks earlier when we talked about the playoffs. They beat the Chargers 40-17. This Chargers defense is good. Yeah. We've been celebrating that. Baker went for 288 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mike Evans for almost a buck 60, 2 touchdowns. And Bucky Irvin has given them life in the running game. He had 117 rushing yards. It was entertaining. Mm. Baker Mayfield is fun to watch.
Shout out to Mike Evans, though. I mean, talk about consistency. Every year, 1,000 yards. He's about to be 1,000 yards this year, too, man. Shout out to him.
Hall of Famer for sure. The Broncos beat the Colts 30-13. We showed you a highlight from that. Bo Nix had 3 touchdowns. He had 3 interceptions. But, hey, he got in the end zone. Cortland Sutton is coming through. Anthony Richardson is interesting. Mm-hmm. He's not there yet.
Yeah.
But he's fun to watch.
Yes, talent.
It made me pause a little bit because I'm like, yeah, you're not a.
He's like a much more talented Jameis Winston.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? If he got good, he needs to get okay with throwing the ball over the middle. Just a couple of games. Mm. You know, just to get the defense to chill. If he can get good from the, 5 to 15 yard line, just a couple, man. Mm. You know, like old school Cam Newton. You don't have to do it all the time, but you got to get it between those numbers. You're going to have to find a way or teams are just going to make it hard for you. You're going to turn the ball over. The Packers, man, they beat the Seahawks 30-13. Surprise, man. Obviously, Geno Smith went out of that game. We kind of talked about that earlier. Jordan Love almost had 230 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs almost had 100. It was 94 yards and a touchdown. Packers are dangerous.
Yes, they are. Very good football team. I like the Pack.
I like them, too.
Go, Pack, go.
And the Vikings, man, you talked about them earlier. You said, look out for these Vikings. 30-12 against the Bears. Sam Darnold had 231 yards and a touchdown. Aaron Jones and Cam Akers, they both had a touchdown each. And Jermaine. I was going to say somebody else's name because I was thinking of a footballer. Okay. But I'm going to say Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
Had 73 yards and a touchdown. When you look at this team, though, they could be scary in the playoffs.
Especially the way Darnold is playing. Like, come on. Who would have thunk it? Yeah. Who would have thunk it, J-Bell?
Who would have thunk it? And last but not least, the Falcons, they kept hope alive.
Did they?
They have kept hope alive because they beat the Raiders and our buddy Antonio Pierce Cousins. Mm. Just enough, man. They're trying to hold on to the South. One thing I will say, man, it's hard watching my homeboy on the sideline.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's so tough.
He has a really bad team.
Yeah, bad team, man.
He got dealt a really bad hand.
He got it, and you look at him, and it's just, you know, what's hard in life, and especially when you've been a performer and excelled at something, and you just feel like you have no control.
Yeah.
Like when the game starts, you can make decisions, but you kind of don't have control, do you?
Yeah.
You just kind of got to let it go.
Tough.
Oh, man. OC. It's hard to end on that, but we got something better for these people.
Okay, what we got?
We're going to get our picks done next.
Let's do it, man. I wonder, did you remember what I was last week? Did I go 5-0 or no?
It doesn't matter if it was good.
I think I went 5-0.
If you did good, it doesn't matter. If you did bad, we can focus on it.
I might have been 4-1. I said I was going to go 5-0, but I was probably 4-1.
All right. Think about it as we get into our picks of the week. Okay, OC, it's that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to track it this week.
Okay, let's track it this week.
You've been balling.
I think so.
These are our picks
of the week. I haven't been accosted on the street.
No, you haven't, so you know it's working out.
Yep.
Our picks of the week brought to you by 888 Sport, mm-hmm. the official partner of the NFL, UK, and Ireland. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly and do not accost OC on the streets unless he's wrong. Holla at him. All right, OC, you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, we have the Broncos at the Chargers. Mm. Ooh, Chargers off a loss.
Yeah, I have to go with the Chargers here, man. A disappointing loss to the Buccaneers. Got beat down there in the fourth quarter. I think they're going to respond. I'm going with the Chargers here.
I'm doing the same on everything you just said, I believe in. We have the Steelers at the Ravens. Mm.
In Baltimore, that's a very tough
place. Is it two losses in a row for the Steelers?
It's going to be two losses in a row. They already clinched the playoff spot anyway, man. So I'm going with the Ravens here, J-Bell.
2-2, I'm with you on that. The Eagles at the Commanders.
You know, I'm going to go with the Commanders here. I'm going to go with the Commanders. Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels, Scary Terry gets it done. I think they're going to find a way to slow down this Eagles attack. I'm going Washington.
I'm going with the Eagles because I believe this defense will make it hard on Jaden Daniels.
That's true.
Vic Fangio, young quarterback, this could get scary. That defense is playing well, right? Are you wanting to change?
Were you kind of doing?
Did you tighten up a little bit?
Good points. No.
The next game, the Texans at the Chiefs. They could be without their starting quarterback. Remember this, Patrick Mahomes. This week, not sure.
I'm going with the Chiefs here.
You going with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs here. The Texans, even though they won, I don't think they're playing good football. Chiefs aren't playing good football, but the Texans have to go into Kansas City. In that environment, Spagnuolo's going to have something for CJ Stroud regardless. I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Texans.
Okay.
I'm going with the Texans.
Well done.
It's all about Patrick Mahomes. He could be a game time decision. Mm. I think they're going to sit him out this week. I'm going to go with the Texans on this.
Okay.
We have the Buccaneers at the Cowboys. OC Baker Money Mayfield. Do you feel him going to Texas and throwing the ball all over the yard?
100%. I'm going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. They're too good of a football team to be beaten by the Dallas Cowboys.
Mike Evans back in Texas. For sure, Buccaneers with the win. Those are our picks for week 16. Head over to 888 Sport. And like I said before, Akas OC on the street. If it doesn't go well, gamble responsibly. And that's it for us this week. Thank you for all your support. Head over to all the platforms. Like, subscribe, comment. That all helps out. I'm telling you, that's how we exist, because of your interaction. We appreciate it. And we appreciate the great mind and great footwork of OC Umenyora.
Come check out the Paradise Park in Iesta. Paradise Park in Iesta. Go, Pack, go.